Georgia Supreme Court Leo Frank appeals documents 1913-1914 page 1260 slide. Visible translated text is as follows. 218 prove it. The nigger says he can't write and we feel that he can write. I said, I know he can write. I have read many notes from him asking me to loan him money. I have received from him many notes from him not to know that he can write. In other words, I have received notes signed with his name, purporting to have been written by him, though I have never seen him to this date use a pencil. I thought a while, and then I says, Now, I tell you, if you will look into a drawer in the safe, you will find the card of a jeweler from whom Conley bought a watch on the installment. Now, perhaps if you go to that jeweler, you may find some sort of a receipt that Conley had to give and be able to prove that Conley can write. Well, Gottheimer took that information back to the Pinkertons. They did just as I said. They got the contract with Conley's name on it, got back evidently to Scott, and then he told the Negro to write. Gentlemen, the man who found out or paved the way to find out that Jim Conley could write is sitting right here in this chair. That is the truth about it. Then that other insinuation, an insinuation that is dastardly, that it is beyond the appreciation of a human being. That is, that my wife didn't visit me. Now, the truth of the matter is this, that on April 29th, the date I was taken in custody at police headquarters, my wife was there to see me. She was downstairs on the first floor. I was up on the top floor. She was there almost in hysterics, having been brought there by her two brothers-in-law and her father. Rabbi Marx was with me at the time. I consulted with him as to the advisability of allowing my dear wife to come up to the top floor to see me in those surroundings with city detectives, reporters, and snapshots. I thought I would save her that humiliation and that harsh sight, because I expected any day to be turned loose and be returned once more to her side at home. Gentlemen, we did all we could to restrain her in the first days when I was down at the jail from coming up to the jail, but she was perfectly willing to even be locked up with me and share my incarceration. Gentlemen, I know nothing whatever of the death of little Mary Fagan. I had no part in causing her death, nor do I know how she came to her death after she took her money and left my office. I never even saw Conley in the factory or anywhere else on that date, April 26, 1913. The statement of the witness Dalton is utterly false as far as coming to my office and being introduced to me by the woman Daisy Hopkins is concerned. If Dalton was ever in the factory building with any woman, I didn't know it. I never saw Dalton in my life to know him until this crime. In reply to the statement of Miss Irene Jackson, she is wholly mistaken in supposing that I ever went to a lady's dressing room for the purpose of making improper gaze into the girl's room. I have no recollection of occasions of which she speaks, but I do not know that lady's dressing room on